Well, happy holiday weekend, everybody out there at TFMR. It is time for your TFMR tradition of our good friend, the Golden Jackass himself, visiting with us on a three-day market holiday weekend, this one being the U.S. Holiday of Independence Day. It's actually Saturday, but we're celebrating it here today on Friday the 3rd, so everybody can take a day off and then go socially distanced from all their friends and family. Joining us again, as per usual, is our old friend, the Golden Jackass himself, Jim Willie. He is the editor of the Hat Trick Letter and a purveyor of golden-jackass.com, where you find all of his work. Jim, my old friend, welcome back.
Oh, it's good to be back. You know, it's nice to have a holiday again, and this holiday might be a little more significant than the other ones because, remember the theme, it's independence. And, you know, I for the longest time when I was a little kid, I thought, okay, we are independent from England. When I turned into a young adult and reading about, you know, central bank controls and various stock market activity and bond market, this and that, and when I learned especially more about gold, I realized we're not independent from England. We are just one gigantic colony. And this time, I think we're going to begin to see a new sequence of events. I hope it is well committed and delivered as promised. But I think we're going to start to see a lot of events beginning in July here. I heard a funny one. I heard a few days ago that we're going to see a concerted effort by the white light patriot types. They're going to try to get a 1776 print for this weekend on gold, and they're going to try to get a $17.76 print for silver as a message that times are going to be changing. I think we're going to get some revelations on arrests. There's been a lot of talk about arrests. There's been a lot of rumors about key top people, elites, being arrested. There's a lot of chatter about the Fed serving as a bad bank with a motive to capture some of the most evil of the American corporations and convert them by means of their boards. We had a very big event last week, Lord Hemke, and it was in the Supreme Court, and it was a victory for Robert Kennedy. I think he has a company that's named something like Defense of Children. And his partner, Dell Bigtree, they won the Supreme Court case against Big Pharma, which had allied with, I believe, the National Institute of Health, serving as agent for the U.S. government. And the victory said this. The court decision, the final decision, said that Big Pharma has not demonstrated either safety or efficacy of vaccines for the last 30 years. So when doctors have been assuring their patients, this is all very safe for you, and it's going to be very effective toward warding off influenza or whatever, they're lying. So it could mean that we're going to begin to see the end of a standard vaccination program system. I'm expecting a lot of different events. There are about 10 that I have in mind. One includes gold. Another one includes this revelation about elite activity below ground that involves trafficking. I don't want to get into details. I have been severely harmed by talking about child trafficking and related matters. I believe it's harmed by demonic forces, and I'm making a concerted effort to speak more generally. Let somebody else carry that baton, because it comes with an extraordinary attendant risk. We got a big sequence coming, and let me share with you something. I've got a jackass colleague. I don't want to identify him. He's a guy who I've known for quite a while, 5 or 6 years, and we have frequent conversations. And he likes to sit me down and say, Jim, let me share with you what I'm seeing, because he has a lot more time than I do. I'm focused on finance economics. He's focused on you know, the dollar and bonds and the U.S. government debt and monetary policy, but also vaccinations and the health organizations and cryptocurrency. But he said, Jim, I'm putting aside some of the crypto stuff, and I'm picking up the mantle here for the health matters, the vaccines, the testing, what is corona. And he said, Jim, I'm gonna let you know what I think. This is what I think. The next 3 months are going to be critical. This is the open window for Trump and the white knights, the white light and what do you call them, patriots. I like calling them the patriots because they're in favor of preserving the nation and not allowing it to fall under the, you know, the fascist realm. He said Trump has a number of things planned. They're all in sequence, and they're going to accelerate working toward the election. There will be no Republican convention. The Democrat convention could be online. It'll be an absolute joke. He now calls Biden, Joseph Biden, he calls him a throwaway. He said the cabal realizes that Biden is going to lose by a wide margin and they've lost control of the corrupted procedures for voter fraud. In other words, the military and NSA have tighter control of the voting procedures, and they won't be able to steal it for Biden's benefit. I've read numerous different polls, and the standard corrupted polls, like Gallup and ABC, Washington Post, they're all ridiculously corrupted. The independent polls that I'm seeing, they're showing 70 to 75% Trump, 10 to 15% Biden. This is going to be even more lopsided than the Hillary election, but without the corruption. The NSA, by the way, in October of 2017, issued a report on their best estimate for the Trump-Hillary election, and they declared Trump the winner by 70 versus 58 million, 12 million vote margin, not one, 12 million. So the actual was 12 times wrong, or the true was 12 times greater. We're going to see something like that. So the big issue is going to be the 2024 election for the Democrats. I've never been anti-Democrat until Obama converted it to a Marxist party. I really didn't even switch and defect during the Clinton years because I really didn't know what he was doing. I wasn't experienced enough. Who did Clinton beat?
Bob Dole.
Bob Dole, yes, the one-armed bandit. He would have been better, but not much.
God, that was a long time ago.
I know. I liked Ross Perot.
Hey, I wonder what would have happened if he'd been elected.
Well, it would have been much different, and he would have been assassinated.
Hey, Jim, let me just double back ahead for a second.
Sure.
Because there's a lot of things I want to talk to you about in our time today. I want to double back to what we discussed early last month when I was on vacation, and we had just that short podcast about central banks calling in debt of companies they prefer and countries that they prefer, all that sort of thing. But I do want you to take a second and plug your service. And this, you mentioned how closely you follow this vaccine news and stuff like that. And I know there are people here on the site that are interested in that. They might want to know that within your services, what do you call it? The Jackass Health Report?
Well, it's a Hetrick Letter health report.
There you go.
I have a gold report and a health report, and it evolved. I've had two straight months of a special report. This month in June, if you open up the health report, you'll see a title. It says Genesis and Exposure of Planned Pandemic, Organized Mayhem, Genesis of the Planned Pandemic, Exposed Medical Criminality. What we're seeing here is the culmination of a more than a generation. This is like 50 years. Rockefeller began in the 50s and 60s to push to the margin natural remedies. And then he took control piece by piece with the stock controlling interest of big pharma companies. And his crowning achievement was Medicare, Medicaid, which is basically a $1.3 trillion Rockefeller government subsidy to his sector. Okay, we're now seeing the culmination. They put it all together. And let me be rather plain. I'm going to be somewhat bold here, and you know, bear with me for a minute because I'm going to explain something, and you can figure it out. This is the playbook. The playbook worked 80 years ago. The playbook worked in 2001. Okay, there's your hint. I'm not going to be explicit. I'm going to give you a lot of good hints here. The invisible exaggerated enemy is the coronavirus, the microbe of shifting identity and name, the invisible enemy. The burning of the Bundestag parliament is the wreckage of the Western economy and the vast undermine of debt blamed on the virus. The Kristallnacht, burning of books, breaking of glass, is the corruption of science managed by Rockefeller and his ilk. The propaganda is heard endlessly by the lapdog dutiful media. Lastly, the patch is the face mask itself. The same playbook worked well in 2001. And as Mark Twain said, it is easier to fool a person than to convince him or her of being deceived. That's
a good point.
A mouthful. And, you know, I don't believe 5% of the American population know what a virus is, know how it works,
right,
the method to identify, or the best prevention, and therefore ignorance is a great ally to the global cabal. I had a joke. I did this. It was a little cruel, but sometimes I'm not a nice guy. The guard to my building was talking with a fellow who had New Jersey 12 years of experience, good English, but I did this in Spanish for the benefit of my guard, who's my buddy, guard to the building. He's the protector of our little palace. I was talking about the stupidity behind wearing masks, and I stopped suddenly. I said, look, there are two viruses right there on the sidewalk. Unbelievable. The guy from New Jersey got down on his knees and started looking at the sidewalk.
Come on, seriously?
I'm not making this shit up.
I am so tired
of the stupidity and ignorance. Okay, now I've got this new report. It's called the Health Report. Let me give some quick background. Now, I don't want to go long on this. Okay. I've got a Bachelor's of Science, and I focused on mathematics, statistics, and computer science. But I took my share of chemistry courses. I took a physics course. I took a pharmacology course. And I took biology, and I had the election to take more biology, and I did so because it included genetics. DNA, RNA, I know the difference, complementary RNA, I know the difference, the distinction, and it was extremely interested, but I got to admit, biology is not a mathematical science, and I did not ace it like I did everything in math and science. I got an A in every course I took in college in math and statistics, and chemistry and physics. Got an A in everything. In graduate school, I got 20 A's out of 21 in my work. And I got to tell you where I got a B. The guy was an asshole. He did not like me. I did not like him. Dr. Duncan, you dolt.
Flunk me. Flunk him.
Well, he gave me a B because, unbelievably, he gave a true false exam on a course that he badly taught that I really didn't show a lot of interest in, but I kept the textbook. And I caught him during his infidelity act driving off with my office mate at the lunch hour. I was on bicycle. I looked to him and Sherry and I go, oh, hello. And you know, he didn't like that. So he gave me a B. And,
I bet Mrs. Anyway, Asshole wouldn't have thought too much of that either.
No, she was upset, but at least she talked about it. She said, Jim, she was my office mate. She said, "Jim, I'm in the process of getting divorced. Don't think wrong about me." And I said, "Okay, your business, Sherry. Do whatever you want." But my point is that I've got a bit of a science background from a bachelor's of science, and when I was a younger fellow, I would constantly read, like Psychology Today. And I had a very big opportunity with the witch that I married in 1985. Her father was an engineer, an electronic engineer, and he had a stack. I mean, like 50 to 70 Scientific Americans in their Vermont cabin. And he said, "Jim, you can borrow whatever you wish." So I would borrow them and take them home, and I'd replace them when we went back to ski. In the summer, it was, you know, hit the lake and, you know, go canoeing and have fun. It's a lot of fun. It was the only thing she brought to the wedding about marriage of value. But I read Scientific American all the time, all the time. And I read about enzymes, nutrition, vitamin, cancer, cancer prevention, lots of different things about genetic. And then there was bioengineering coming into vogue. Okay, so I'm not an expert, but I do okay in understanding technical jargon. And I got to tell you one thing. The test for the corona, it needs to have a whole lot of scrutiny because it is pathetic. It is full of false positives. It's basically testing to see if you as a human have antigens and antibodies in your body, in your chemical system. These are little soldiers that combat disease. But also, they combat toxins, like poisons, to surround it, isolate it, neutralize it, get it out through the liver. The corona test tests antigens and antibodies for recent episodes of a virus nature. So when you see 92% of the Marion, Ohio prison population testing positive for corona, you can say that they are testing positive for human. The test for corona is largely a test for being human.
Right.
And they're trying to refine it. They're trying to fix it so that not so many positive, because they want positive. They don't want too many. They don't want to have the scrutiny where, say, 3/4 or 60% or 48% of the human population is testing positive for this bullshit coronavirus.
I might just jump in, Jim, for anybody that has access to it. The CBS program 60 Minutes essentially did that same story this past Sunday, talking about how worthless so many of these tests are at this point.
Great. Somebody might get fired in CBS for that.
Yeah, really.
Right. You cannot be a purveyor of truth during this.
My point is, yeah, that I mean this isn't just like you're just talking out of your rear end. I mean, this is generally accepted at this point that those tests are not doing a very good job.
Let me go further. Every one of the rules, the social rules, has a motive to harm. Every single one. Social distance. Oh, that's to enable the satellite tracking once they've got the ID 2020 in your arm, because it must be a minimum of 1.5 meters or 2 in order to isolate the signal of someone that they're targeting.
That's interesting.
The face mask rule, that is to make sure that you remain loaded with your own bacteria and don't expel it. Your mask is going to be full of bacteria. Do you think people are going to wash it twice a day? I don't think so. And furthermore, the reduced oxygen would eventually cause minor brain damage. It's 20% less oxygen intake. The medical doctor community must begin to speak out, and they're starting to. Furthermore, by not expelling your virus elements and your bacteria elements, will eventually find its way to your brain through your nasal passages. This is a rule to harm. The stay-at-home rule, that's to harm the economy. Stay at home, lose your income, eat poorly, and don't hit the streets in a revolt. Die quietly, please. I am so sick of all of this. And here's my favorite. I got into an argument. I picked a fight with somebody yesterday. And I do this. I mean, it's part of my nature. I'm combative, argumentative. I'm ornery.
No.
A little bit, Lord Hemke.
Really?
A little bit, yeah. I went into a shop and I knew his internet cafe was shut down. So he just left with his photocopies and selling trinkets like, protectors for your cell phone and what's another common? Oh, telephone cards, stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I said, Yacerado, Cafe de Internet, you still close your Cafe de Internet? And he said, yeah. And I said, yeah, for the bullshit tonteria, for this corona. And he said, no, it's tonteria. He objected. He said, I have a family relative, a family member. Someone I know within the family died. And I said, oh, so I'm sorry to hear that. But since he died, therefore it's corona. So I'm just combative. Mm-hmm. And he said, no, the doctor said it's corona. Oh, yeah, doctors never lie, right? And he said, what's with you, buddy? What's with you? And I said, oh, I've got a scientific background, and most of this is pure bullshit, fraud, and tonteria. Tonteria is stupidity, dumb stuff. And he said, no, my cunyada, my sister-in-law died. And I said, was it kind of a nasty standard flu? Why do you think it was corona? Because the doctor said so. I said, oh, yeah, the doctors never lie. Are you aware of the difference, sir, between corona and COVID? And he said, no. Why do I care? And I said, because they changed the counts to COVID, which includes corona, SARS, MERS, pneumonia, and nasty influenza. So COVID is everything. That way they keep the numbers up. He said, I know people who died of a car crash, drug overdose, gunshot wound, and et cetera, and they all call them corona. So everything's fucking corona here. Anyway, he told me to get out.
Bye-bye, Yankee.
That's the point. I have – these are personal incidents that come through friends or clients. These following have all been called corona. A brain aneurysm stroke called corona by the doctors. They had to quarantine the body, and my friend's family was very upset. A friend's uncle died of a heart attack. They called it corona because they jammed a ventilator down his throat. And by the way, you get a ventilator in your throat, you're going to be dead in 2 days, and there's nobody recovering from a ventilator, and they get $39,000 from the Medicare. Okay, third one was a car crash from a client's friend. Another one was a drug overdose from a client's friend. Another one was a gunshot from a meth dealer, a methamphetamine dealer. It was a friend of a friend, bad side of El Paso, Texas. They all got called corona. They all got the $39,000 from the Medicare and Department of Health Services and all the Rockefeller offices in the U.S. government. Okay, so this is extraordinarily corrupted. I do not believe this argument that, well, Jim, gosh, if you're right, then the news networks, the big pharma, the doctors, or the health agents, they're all in on it. I can't believe that. And I said, that's because you're stupid, because you haven't followed anything in 20 years, because you don't know who the major owners are for the market capital of big pharma. It's because you don't know anything about the bribery of the Congress back in the 60s by Rockefeller to eliminate alternative medicine therapies. It's because you don't follow anything, because you criticize me for following, that I'm always doomsday. I'm sick of you and your ignorance. And they say, oh, well, Jim, I'm sorry I got you all upset. And I said, I don't mind being upset. I'm tired of ignorance and stupidity, and you're part of it. I went to a little tent by a clinic nearby where my lady lives, and they were dispensing free vaccines. This happened a month ago.
For what? For the coronavirus? For COVID?
Well, influenza generally. Okay. Generally.
All right.
And I sat down and I put my bike helmet down. You know, here I am, a little sweaty. I come a long way. I had gone about 4 miles, and I thought, this is too good an opportunity. So I sat down and I said to the lady in my best Spanish, and I tried to be polite, set the trap. Polite. I said, oh, this is nice. You're doing a nice service for people. Yeah, started off with a lie. And I said, do you have any demonstrated evidence from independent analysis on the contents of these flu vaccines? It's a vacuna de gripe, vacuna de influenza. Vacuna is, vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, yes, we do. And she pulled out of the box exactly what I thought she was going to do, the table of contents from Bristol-Myers Squibb, you know, in font 3. So I looked at it and said, no, I mean from an an independent laboratory. And she said, what do you mean? I said, you don't know what the word independent, now I'm starting to turn on her. I said, so you don't know what independent laboratory means? You don't know what independent means? I said, do you think if Bristol-Myers Squibb had something harmful in there that they would put it in this piece of paper? Or would they wait for someone who is independent, who has no vested interest? I didn't know the word for vested. I still don't. I got to look that up. Anyway, she got defensive, and I said, excuse me, lady, but you don't know what you're giving people. If someone gets sick in 30 days or 2 weeks, will you hear about it, or will you continue to give out these free vaccines? And she said, what are you doing? And I said, I'm trying to point out to you your ignorance. She said, excuse me? I said, tu eres ignorante. You don't know what you're giving people. You might be making them sick. I've got three clients who have severely damaged children and one dead from the flu vaccine. Do you have any idea what's inside these? And I started to get hostile. She said, it's a vacuna. What do you mean it's a vacuna? And I said, yeah. Does it have mercury? Does it have formaldehyde? I didn't put in pig urine. I said, I am aware of other diseases like meningitis that are in these vaccines. Are you aware of anything? And she said, no. I said, okay, very good. Continue your grand work, lady. I'm out of here. Me voy. Put on my helmet and I drove away.
Did you look back and see what she was doing? I mean, what was her response as you left?
More defensive than anything, huddling together with her colleague. I look back, but not at her. I look back at the security guard.
Yeah, no kidding.
To see if he got involved, and he did not. He was busy at the front door doing his thing. I will not confront that clinic again. Yeah. If I do it again, it'll be another clinic. They got various clinics. I got word from my Panama American contact. He, a U.S. guy, U.S. citizen living in Panama. He's been there for 18 years. It's absolutely locked down. Locked down. Prison colony. The whole society is a prison colony. Men can go out 3 days a week. Women can go outside the other 3 days a week. And I believe Sunday is closed down for everybody. Can't leave your house. That's Panama. He said, Jim, I saw a line of at least 60 people getting a free flu vaccine. I said, okay, so that's a pretty good indication of the receptivity of the voluntary corona vaccine when it's available. And he said, I'm afraid so. The ignorance level is just too great.
Well, I tell you what.
This is what we're up against. We should shift away from...
Well, you've made a good case, again, for... Go to golden-jackass.com if this is stuff that intrigues you and interests you. I know it's not for everybody, but if this interests you, understand there is now... What do we call it? The Hattrick Health Report?
Hattrick Letter Health Report.
All right, there you go. All right, Jim, in our remaining time here on this holiday weekend, let's double back to what we discussed a month ago. And perhaps what I'll do, I'll put, for anybody that needs a refresher or missed it the first time, I'll put a link to that podcast. It was only about 25 minutes. It was a Thursday conversation. And what Jim and I mainly discussed is just kind of where this is all headed. You know, a lot of folks talk about some kind of reset or jubilee. And in my opinion, forgetting, you know, that on every balance sheet, there's a creditor and a debtor, right? And the people that might benefit from a debt jubilee are the debtor. But what about the creditors, man? They're not going to go for that. And so our discussion a month ago kind of centered on this idea that what the central banks are doing, and now it's been expanded greatly in the past month, is basically calling in debt. God, Jim, they're even buying Berkshire Hathaway and Apple debt now, the Fed is. What the hell do they need the Fed in there buying their bonds for? So let's just kind of, like I said, in the back half of this, in our remaining time, what have you seen in the last month, and what are your thoughts at present on this whole idea?
I think they're calling U.S. dollar debt home to the U.S. to redeem in dollar cash. Now, if you said 20 years ago, yeah, they're that entity out there in the world, and another one, they're both holding dollars. Well, it would typically be U.S. Treasuries. It's not that they would be holding, you know, Benjamin Franklin $100 bills shrink-wrapped in a container vessel. No, they're holding Treasuries electronically. Okay, now they are about to see a redemption, and it's well along. here's my attitude. I'll get to force majeure in a second. They're calling dollars home so that they can be redeemed. And then those entities with the debt, holding the debt, they can be freed of the obligations. Now, let's suppose it's a bank. Let's just make something up. Let's just say it's Citibank. Citibank holds a tremendous amount of debt for their own company, but they hold a lot of debt for, say, commercial lending and mortgages and credit cards. Okay, so the deal might go like this. Okay, Citigroup, we're going to cover a lot of your own debt, your corporate debt, the bonds issued in the name of Citibank. We're going to cover that. And on condition that you forgive the mortgage debt, forgive the commercial debt, forgive the credit card debt, and maybe even forgive the student loan debt. So it would be, think of it as a bribe to cover the financial entity's own debt, their corporate bonds, on condition that they participate in the debt jubilee. Now, this debt jubilee, I thought a year ago, oh, yeah, right. And now I'm thinking, I'm seeing all the indications to confirm it. Mario Draghi made a comment about 3 weeks ago to the effect that prepare for private debt to be forgiven. Now, he didn't elaborate. I checked his exact words, and he did not elaborate. I was looking to see, well, does that include mortgages? Does that include student loan? Does that include credit card debt? What does it include? It was a general sweeping comment. So if they were going to do a debt jubilee, they would want to minimize the damage of the big lenders. And they do that by covering their corporate debt. This movement to call dollars home, a lot of people are focusing, I think, 180 degree off. They're thinking, oh, look at all this big bank welfare. Oh, they're giving huge stimulus to the big banks, and they're giving smaller paycheck coverage to the households, PPP program. Oh, this is not fair. Well, I think it's part of a process. They're calling dollar-based debt home, and bear in mind, the first round did not include corporate bonds. Just think of like a big bank of Deutsche Bank or Credit Suisse or Societe Generale of France. They own a lot of corporate debt, but they denominate it in dollars to make more facilitated the issuance. Okay, well, they're calling that home to the Fed. They're covering it. And then they made another move. The Fed said, bring all your exchange-traded funds. Are you kidding me? Mm-hmm. And I thought, wait a minute, the bond-related ETFs? And I heard, no, it's a lot of them. It's including the stock and equity. It's including commodities. It's including oil, including gold, I think. Okay, they're bringing dollar-based debt home, and there's only one group that I have not seen brought home, and that is emerging market debt denominated in dollars. And there's anywhere between 10 and 15 trillion of that. So this is a good test point. Are they going to try to screw Bangladesh by maybe ignoring them and their debt defaults and there's asset seizures? Or are they going to forgive half of it so that only half the debt gets asset seizures? Okay, the consequence of not forgiving and redeeming the debt is asset seizures. We saw what happened in Greece where they bent over and said, okay, we'll take it up the hind parts from German bankers. And then we saw what happened in Italy where they said, no, that's my hind part. You're not touching that because I got a boyfriend. You know, I'm making a joke. The Italians did not cotton to it. The Italians did not bend over. The Italians were defiant, defiant to the German banks, defiant to the European Union official. They were defiant toward the Euro Central Bank. They were defiant toward all of them. And their reward was first nation attacked with corona. I am dead certain that Italy was targeted. There have been some reports that there were overnight raindrop deliveries of coronavirus and other nasty virus. I think they delivered SARS. All SARS cases are being called corona. Would you agree with that?
We don't hear anything about SARS anymore, Jim, so why not?
Yeah, well, it's SARS and it's MERS, and they're doing their dead level best to not to distinguish between corona from SARS, from MERS, or even from pneumonia. We haven't even talked about 5G-generated human damage to the lungs and the areola sacs, which become filled with fluid and become infected, and they're quickly diagnosed as pneumonia, but then called corona. So 5G is creating corona cases indirectly in sequence. Okay, I got the calling home of dollars.
Right. What about some of the existing debt? Like, for example, however many treasuries are still owned by China? Because that kind of gets back to, you know, the One Belt, One Road, Eurasian Alliance, all this stuff we've talked about over the years. And there's so much, there's a lot of interesting geopolitics happening there now, too, with what China is doing with Hong Kong and the U.S. now trying to sanction them back and taking away Hong Kong's special status, all that kind of stuff, Jim. What do you make of, I mean, how does that tie in, do you think?
It ties in a complex manner. I've got various Chinese contacts with the Hattrick letter, and they're living in Australia, Singapore, Hong Kong, and California. And they fill me almost every day with something. What I'm coming to learn is the Chinese Communist Party was part of this Wuhan lab. They were working complicitly with the Gates Foundation and the Center of Disease Control and Big Pharma United States. And they had a monumental experiment and a disaster in Wuhan, China.
Hmm.
I am getting information that cannot be refuted by any of the others of the Chinese sources. You know, it's not 10 sources. It's three or four or five. One or two are not deep. Two or three are very deep and constant in their flow. And the information I'm getting is that, yes, it is confirmed by them through social media that there were at least 2 million killed in Wuhan.
Yeah, yeah.
And it could have been three times that. And what happened was an experiment that basically I believe was the ID 2020 implant and the serum. It's not a vaccine. It's a serum to alter the cellular structure of the human body to create open doors at the cell membrane. That way it allows various things to enter and it allows dormant things to exit. And the person gets ridiculously sick.
Oh, my gosh.
And it's triggered by 5G. Think of all the different chemtrails we've had for 15 years or more. We know about the aluminum particulates. We know about the benzene. We know about the coal ash. But we don't know about, is not well publicized, therefore, is the nanometallic elements. Just think of like, you know, copper, cobalt, titanium, various metals, like confetti on the dance floor. It is littering your human cells. And when you get 5G radiation, it's going to just turn you on like sticking your finger in the electrical socket.
Jim,
that's what I think happened in Wuhan. So
does all this fit together?
It does in a complex way. And I'm constantly trying to figure it out and learn more. But what I've come to learn is that the Chinese Communist Party has never in 70 years or more been under assault like it has been lately. The backlash that we don't hear about in the Western press is the objections to their participation and complicity with the Gates Soros experiment in Wuhan, the arrest of hundreds of reporters, the silencing and censorship of hundreds of thousands of social media participants in order to keep this all quiet. Now they're doing something in Beijing, and I don't know what it is because they're calling it food poisoning and corona delivery, and that is absolutely absurd.
So I would think if you're right about this, That's just another danger then. Wouldn't the CCP be kind of a, I don't know, wounded animal in fear of its existence if...
Yes. Yes, and I think that's why they delivered something. I don't know what it is, to Beijing. Hmm. I think they spread SARS all through their society. They're a country, the only country I know of, there might be more, that had a mandatory SARS vaccine, which included elements to deliver the corona.
And they're giving it all to their military, too. Did you see that one?
I did not see that. I'm constantly picking up more information. It's hard to get it all.
Yeah.
How does it tie in?
Yeah.
Before I get to that, there's a North versus South issue of China that I wasn't very aware of. And it goes directly to the old kingdoms before the Communist Party. The old kingdoms were basically Northern Manchu, King, Q-I-N-G, King, and they spoke Mandarin. And the South, with Hong Kong and Shanghai, they just not the same culturally or ethnically compared to the North. And in the South, they spoke Cantonese. Let me give you a little hint. When I was a kid, we called it Peking. Peking is the capital of China. Well, yeah, but in Mandarin, it's called Beijing.
Right.
Okay, that's the difference. And Shanghai has its own two names. I don't know what the other one is. I just know about Peking and Beijing. I asked many years ago, why they changed it to Beijing? It's because they converted to the Mandarin interpretation of the name in order to give kind of the middle finger to the South. There's a North versus South going on. And Wuhan is to the west, and it's considered a very rebellious area. It's I can't think of the name of the region.
Hubei,
I think it's Hubei. Okay, yeah, they had that region is considered very rebellious, so that's why they did the experiment in Wuhan in case it went bad, and it didn't go bad. It was a third order magnitude disaster. This is what we have coming in the West, in the United States, if we permit the Gates vaccine to take place, because a lot of people are going to go into a coma and never come out. It's part of the plan. And what they're going to do is they're going to keep it quiet. And they're going to say, oh, we got a lot worse situation than we thought. We need to redouble our vaccination initiatives. Hmm. Okay, where does it tie in? I think it ties in to a force majeure. We're seeing now that the Democrat Party is very tightly connected to China. And it started with Clinton and the White Sands Laboratory in the 90s, which led to the Oklahoma City bombing, which covered up three things. It covered up the Agent Orange damage to soldiers. It covered up the Bush-Clinton $1.6 trillion in stolen Fannie Mae money. And it covered up evidence that the U.S. military had collected regarding the Clinton treason with respect to White Sands Laboratory, where he sold directly weapons schematics to the Chinese Communist Party and got caught.
Remember Charlie Tree? And they gave them all of the – it was the technology that they got to how to do independent warheads. Allegedly, they were going to use it for launching multiple satellites. But it was basically the same – you could use the same thing to do independent warheads on ICBMs. I mean, a lot of folks don't remember this shit because it was 25 years ago, but that was a huge scandal that just got covered up.
It was not only covered up, it required the Bush-Clinton gang, and I really don't know how deep that gang was extending into the Langley offices. I believe it had to have some connection. It resulted in the shooting down of a military aircraft with eight generals and admirals on it over Alabama. And after that, they formed the America First organization, quietly assuming and collecting data for the treason involved in the new Democrat Party, which I think got folded in with the globalist fascist cabal. And this is extremely deep. And I'm not tying it in together very well with the debt, but let me just say regarding debt, we've now got an extraordinarily convenient coronavirus theme for force majeure and debt cancellation and stimulus coverage of the debt. Here's the best example I've got. I thought it was about $10 billion that the shale sector had for debt exposure. Hmm. I'm learning now that it's $150 to $200 billion.
Yeah, I was going to say $10 billion seems light.
Well, that's what I thought it was a couple of years ago, and I didn't get great information. But what has happened, Lord Hemke, is from what I understand is they've done payment after payment after payment, adding to the debt exposure by covering the debt service.
Mm-hmm.
Wall Street has said, well, we won't let this go bad because we're on the hook. So we're going to pay your debt service and extend the amount on the debt. So it just got bigger and better. It grew like a gigantic acne, big boil.
Big boil. I like
big
it. Got
boil. Okay.
It.
Okay. Now, is the oil sector, is the shale sector, the alternative production style oil sector, is that vulnerable to corona? I don't think so.
You wouldn't think.
No. But now it's going to get coverage because we've got the all-inclusive corona blanket. Okay. So we're working toward a force majeure. We're working toward a debt jubilee. And it's going to be somewhat additionally justified by the fact that we're up to $27 trillion now.
Yeah.
Now, what's the fly in the ointment? What's the turd in the pool? Sorry to...
No offense.
It's Skidmore, the Michigan State University professor.
Yeah.
Who now says due to Treasury bond redemption and churning, he's got $92 trillion as the missing number, the missing volume of dollars from the U.S. government.
That guy's, he should be nervous, man. You can't go around talking about that stuff.
I think the exact same thing. What I told a couple of friends of mine, man, this guy's living on borrowed time. But he's gotten so much publicity.
I suppose, yeah.
If he had gone quiet and if he had published anonymously his report, or if he had submitted it in the name of Michigan State University Board of Directors, okay, I think he'd be dead by now. Okay, guys like that, they don't live long. They're getting offed. So I think we're setting up both a force majeure and a debt jubilee for facilitating the restart, the reset. And it's got a lot of unknown pieces to it. Craig, I am still bewildered how they're going to pull this off.
Right.
And my guy Maxwell, he's that CEO bank executive in Central Europe. I'm due to call him up again for round two. He told me that the White Hats, the Patriots, are trying to keep elevated the stock and bond market. And the cabal is trying to wreck it. They're the sellers. They're the ones buying the option S&P option puts. And then they make money on it because it's not hard to pull down a market when you got a wrecked economy and debt that's failing everywhere and income that's vanishing and employees are being laid off. Okay, but with funny money, the Fed and the Wall Street banks are lifting the stocks while conserving the bonds, which means they're preventing big interest rate hikes.
Right.
They're making comments that the stimulus will continue, the support for debt will continue. My question is, until what?
Yeah, right.
And it's until they can pull off the reset. And, it's very hard to get great information on timing of the reset. But I keep hearing more and more the Asians and the old elder money, the elder society's money, they've got a tremendous amount, multiple trillions. It's kind of hard to conceive of it.
Right.
But the voice confirmed 110,000 tons of gold held by the White Dragons, and I've converted, and that comes to about $7 trillion. Now I'm hearing about the Golden Dragons, who have 100 trillion in gold. They're promising, according to certain reports And it's very hard to confirm. I get clients who say, Jim, what's your source on that? And I give my loose source and say, very difficult to confirm. We need more information to get this solid, but I'm putting it on the wall awaiting confirmation, and that's the status of this factoid. They have a condition. The Asians will not help on the reset transition unless and until we remove the heavy hand of the globalist satanic cabal.
I don't see how that's going to happen peacefully.
I don't either, and that's why I'm eagerly awaiting the results of July, August for progress reports.
Yeah.
Very hard to get good information. I've only got a couple of sources. I'm always looking for more, and they don't come about easily, and they tend to be killed.
Well, you teed us up, probably not intentionally, but you teed us up for our next visit because it is, I don't know, 10 weeks maybe to Labor Day?
I guess about that. I'd like to mention something in closing.
Yeah, go ahead.
I just submitted a public article today, and that the title is Gold Reset Breakout, 10 Reasons.
Okay.
Let me just rattle them off without backing them up, okay?
Yeah, go for it.
The real rate of interest has never been more negative.
Right. That's a good one.
Uh-huh. And we don't talk about that much.
No, start there, yep.
We talked about that way back in 2003 and 4. Number two, staggering monetary growth has ruined money.
Yep.
Okay, so monetary ruin. Number three, trust is gone, along with prestige for the King Dollar and its managers. We're seen as predatory.
Agreed.
Number four, Western economies are now dependent upon central banks for stimulus and relief.
No doubt.
Number five, all USD-based bonds and exchange-traded funds are being redeemed. Number six, the mining sector is stalled with many shutdowns of mining operations. Number seven, that's supply, okay?
Yep.
Supply is way down. Number seven, central bank reserves are converting from bonds to gold. It's all being done quietly, double book accounting.
Yep, you can see
it. I think that is so important. I got to say, I think it is pushing out the retail investors' supply chain. They don't have anything to buy because the central banks are buying it all. Number eight. Digital currencies are evolving toward gold backing. They're now working conferences to get usage and rules together. Okay. Number nine, chaos is building on a worldwide basis.
That's for sure.
Number 10, almost all assets are turning to worthless drivel.
Yeah, paper.
I got it on good authority. By that, I mean a fellow who's quite reliable for his past info. He said, we're going to see a lot of pensions announce that they're busts.
Yeah, yeah.
Before the election.
Yeah. No, I mean, the need for the Fed to keep printing cash to keep things afloat is so great. They'll be looking to do anything. And that'll just be one of the, maybe that'll be the next crisis that they have to monetize.
Yeah. Are they going to forgive student debt while monetizing the bond? Okay, here's the danger with pensions. I'll be brief. It's not just a matter of monetizing their holdings. They don't have any income on their nut.
Yeah, yeah.
The pensions and insurance don't earn any income on their nut. Okay, I looked. I poured over. I spent an hour for my father's TIAA CREF book. I was way back in 2006. He said, Jim, take a look at this. I know it's all dense. I looked at it. It was bonds, it was corporate bonds, it was shopping malls, and it was commercial office buildings.
Yeah.
Where's the income from any of that?
Yeah, and it especially going forward.
Right. So my point is that you can't just say, well, they're going to cover that with the Fed. No, they need income.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
And they don't have it. So what's the income going to be? Who knows? I mean, if they were really good, they'd buy a bunch of gold and sell option.
Yeah, no kidding.
Sell option calls.
No
okay,
kidding.
So anyway, got to wrap it up. I hope people go to golden-jackass.com.
Back up for just a second. That report you talked about gold, the 10 reasons. Let's just start from there. Where do they find that, Jim?
Oh, it hasn't been posted yet.
Oh, okay. Where will they find it?
I submitted it this morning, and, okay. and the usual pattern is that Goldseek and Gold Eagle will publish it within, 12 to 24 hours.
Okay.
Goldseek and Gold Eagle, those are the big guys in the online magazines.
Mm-hmm.
And I regard them both as extremely highly reputable. I noticed that Kitco, for instance, just had an enormous lawsuit claim that they lost.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I don't know the details, but I will say this. 2013, they refused to start – they refused to continue posting my public articles. And I wrote them a nasty comment back, and I said, oh, why? You taking too many orders from the banker cabal? And no reply. Okay, yeah. So fine. Let them go. I hope people go to www.golden-jackass.com. There's the subscribe button. There's the consult button, which has gotten quite a lot of activity, Craig. I'm up to something like, 50 consult sessions since February.
Terrific.
Yeah. And I learn from them, and they're enjoyable. They're good people. They're smart people. They're aware. They've got their challenges, they got their interests, and I try to address some of their concerns, and I get good compliments, and sometimes they surprise me because I tell them I'm not an expert in everything. I've got my areas, and there are a couple, little weak spots, and they're all very kind, and we focus on the strengths, and people who, for instance, oh gosh, Jim, I got a gold account at a certain depository, and I've leased it out. Should I take it back before it gets confiscated? I want to move to Central America. Should I redeem my gold and silver and buy something new and store it there when I get, just a lot of tough questions. What's going on with all the port facilities? Who owns them after all? What's going on? Are we going to have shortages in the United States? A lot of questions. But there's also the donate button, and I got to say I'm making some good progress on the problems here moving forward. A lot of past debts have been eradicated. I'm building. I've got to recover from serious loss. I mean, it's one thing to get out of debt, but it's another thing to recover from the losses themselves. So moving forward on that. So I got the subscribe button, the consult button, the donate button. They're all working well. And I've also got a list of public articles and interviews. And I got to say, 2 weeks ago, I wrote a very sassy, satirical piece where I interviewed David Rockefeller in Hades. And it's worth checking. Check the link on my website. You'll find that it's on Gold Eagle and Goldseek.
That's great.
It gave me the license to boast as King Rockefeller. And I assure you that I arrived there at the 15th sub-basement floor of the J.P. Morgan headquarters surreptitiously. I arrived with 4 bottles of water for the interview because it was hot. And
right.
4 crucifixes around my necks for protection.
Is he rooming with Epstein?
No, Epstein hasn't arrived yet. He's got an appointment, but he hasn't arrived yet.
Oh, I see. He's still in the preliminary torture.
David Rockefeller did mention that he's not very happy with his surroundings.
I can't blame him.
Yeah.
James, you are one of a kind, my friend, and it's always great to hear from you. I suspect we are going to have quite the busy summer here in the U.S. over these next couple of months. There's one of the political analysts here in the U.S. who's lived in Washington a long time says that everything that happens in an election year is about the election. And I suspect with the election pending, still 4 months away, there's going to be a lot of stuff that happens in the next 2 months. So I look forward to you and I getting back together over Labor Day and learning more about what you've been able to find out in the interim.
I'm just hoping that we got exposure, more arrests, and some commandeering of the major networks, both news and social media, because they have turned into pure sedition centers.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, all right, my friend. Thank you again. golden-jackass.com to find the work of our old friend, Jim Willie. Jim, thank you so much for your time. I hope you have a great weekend.
All right. Thank you.
And from all of us at TFMR, have a great holiday weekend, and we'll get back to business on Monday.